Mr. Holloway were real fine. I think you were saying that you actually visited the pub yourself whilst you were there.
We took 250 in civilian clothes to see the Holy Father at St. Peter's Square. He came and received us. He gave us his blessing. And he gave us a certain coin, which apparently was the rosary of a soldier. It was roughly about the size of a 5 shilling piece. And there were little notches in. Now, how that actually worked, I never got to know. It's still running.
Now, on the Volturno, which units were either side of you there, do you remember?
Well, we were the paratroopers to wear some remnants from the Africa Corps, and then naturally units from the German forces, the infantry, the numbers, well, we hardly got to know because, I mean, it was fighting then, that was it. You only got in touch with them if you did belong to a staff company. Then you got in touch with them other units which were either side. You only were then in a certain stretch of battle line. That was your job to defend, and that was it.
And what kind of forces were opposing you?
Well, there were British forces, very, very good. There were also some, quite a number of, from the 8th Army.
You know, which Army.
From the 8th Army, because apparently all what I know is the story about those two British soldiers, Dick and Ben, as I told, certain chappie, Harry Chipman, he was a sergeant in the British forces and he fought in Burma. And he says, oh, no, nobody came back from there. And it must be about 25 years ago, in a British Sunday newspaper, apparently when Africa finished, there was nearly a mutiny there because Monty wanted to split the so-called 8th Army up. And I marked that nicely in the paper, and then I gave it to Harry Chipman. I said, Harry, just have a good look here. And he read it. He says, I never. I said, well, in that particular case, those two chappies haven't told me a lie, because 4 years, 37 to 41 is 4 years, and that is what they have been away from Britain, you know, in the Far East, and then coming back. He says, well, I never, I wouldn't have believed it, and there it was. Maybe you have heard about it.
What didn't he believe?
Well, he didn't believe. I said, well, I didn't tell a lie, and either did them too, because that was true. You see, according in that particular paper, the nucleus of the 8th Army, which actually started and so on, and then they wanted to stay together, and all of a sudden Monty wanted to split them up, and they wouldn't have it. They wouldn't wear it.
Why was it so bad for you at Volturno? Just the fighter bombers, or...?
It is the fighter bombers and then the terrain itself. It was very, very bad. Very bad.
Because of it being hilly?
Yeah. Well, no, it's the river itself, the Volturno, and the Volturno bend. And we were rather forward, and you couldn't get anything during the day. And at night, well, they bombed and strafed, you know, with heavy guns and so on, the road and so on. And so you did get very, very little forward, so you had to be very, very careful what you did. Even with your own ammunition, you had to be very, very careful because you needed it to defend yourself. So you simply couldn't bother away. When I see today, I see here fighting going on here, you know, on television, and you see that, and you're shooed away. I mean, that would have been a crime. You needed every bullet. Because you have to carry that blasted thing, haven't you? No, don't shoot it away for Nixie. You have to defend yourself.
So you had to be economical?
Oh, yes, most certainly, yes.
What was the quality of the paratroopers by this time? On the
We were still a very, very good fighting force. because there were so many old ones by, and then the young ones, they looked up to the old ones, and so they said, well, we're just as good as you. So that is definitely for sure very, very good.
How long approximately were you fighting in Italy, do you think?
Well, we were fighting there, I think we must have come back and regrouped around, Albano, in that particular. It must have been in September. Yeah, September we came back, because in October we went to Russia.
What were your relationships with Italian civilians?
We didn't get in touch with them, and which they were actually very hostile to us at that particular time. Because I remember we were stationed at a winery, a vineyard, and doors were, well, they didn't look at us, and doors were shut, and I always had my tools with me, so I made the door shut, and then naturally I got invited, because, I mean, straight up, it's exactly the same as like here, as a prisoner of war. If you could do something, you were in, you see.
Then. Something to help them.
Yeah, didn't they? And so over there is true. And I always remember this good man going down in a wine cellar and fetching a bottle of wine, with still dust and cobwebs everywhere. I said, good God. And so he says, he brought this bottle of wine, and then he very, very nicely wiped it on top, and then don't disturb it, and then opened it, and then he filled up. That was good stuff. I still taste it today. Yeah, and we regrouped, and then from Rome, from a certain railway station, we set then off to Sidomir. That was then in October.
To
Sidomir. It's Kiev. Sidomir, Kiev. We did fight, we did attack. The Russians already were in Kiev, and we did drive them out. And we attacked again, and we could see Sidomir, we didn't get into Sidomir. I didn't get into Sidomir.
You could see them through
binoculars. Yeah, we could see that. Yeah, in the, them sheer, what we call the sheer funeral. You look down on bottom and on top. You look through. You see, it's they're ever so good, fantastic. And from there we came back.
When you went to Russia the second time, how did it compare with 1941?
Terrible.
Worse than 1941?
Yes, because you mustn't forget they already had taken all that back, what the German troops at one time had. I mean, Stalingrad was over. All the troops came back. It was terrible. From there, we got then moved. Somebody, another unit, took over where we were when we consolidated the front, and we were then taken down from there, from Sidomir to Berdichev, Vinnytsia, down to Kirovograd, and shortly before Kirovograd, the German troops pulled out, and we moved in, and we retook this particular part with the 15th Tank Division. And when I say 15th Tank Division, it wasn't a tank division, there were only 15 tanks there. And that was on the 22nd, we took that, and we took roughly about 25 kilometers of land to the east, solidified our fighting line to make it shorter. And like I said, on the 24th of December, the Russians started. And every time they came, there were more and more and more. We never shot when their attack broke together. We always let them take the wounded back. We never shot them. And when they came again, they went over and over. And you would have thought, well, you could see maybe 1,000 attacking. Now next time there's less. No, there were two. And then in the end, the ones in the front had the rifles, and they came, and when they fell, The next one took the rifles and fired. They did fight.
People say it was like human wave attacks. Was it like
yes,
that?
Yes, yes, yes. Apparently exactly this, they attacked exactly the same as they have attacked in the Great War 1418, only with a better determination of succeeding, which they in the end did.
How fearful were you then that you would be overrun by these attacks?
Well, you didn't bother no more. You know, you were too, you didn't care no more. In one's life, you come to a certain point where you don't bother no more. It doesn't matter what happens.
You mean you didn't care whether you lived or died?
Yeah, that is it.
Why do you think that you'd got to that stage?
Well, the war had now proceeded for so long, you knew perfectly well there was no end. You knew perfectly well it's impossible to fight the world. He should have known better, Hitler. Then another thing is, like I said, where the Russians' war machinery, and I have to point this out, I have not once seen a British gun, British food, American guns, American food there where we fought. And there were elite troops which were against us, either the Stalingrad or paratroopers, air landing troops from the opposite side. They were there, even down at Kirovograd, around there. And from there we went, we had to go back. See, my platoon, what I had, I safeguarded our company. Our company safeguarded our battalion. Our battalion safeguarded our regiment. And our regiment safeguarded the division. And all what did belong to it. So sometimes it did happen. The Russians already overtook you. And you could have been in captivity. And so long you came out, you'll be all right.
What did you think would be your fate if you fell into the hands of the Russians?
Well, what we have seen, so many got shot, and so many definitely did get kept in captivity, and so many were then treated quite well, and there were quite a number of German soldiers which then fought in the free German forces in Russia, and the general von Seydlitz. Now, I haven't seen those troops. I only have heard about him. Who said then, you know, you have to be back if they come and go back or join us. You see, so I don't know. There were so many already. I mean, even Field Marshal von Paulus, who was the commander of the 6th... army in Stalingrad. I mean, just imagine that man. He knew what was going to happen. Now, if he would have given the order to return, which he could have done, he couldn't because Hitler said so. He was the Almighty. I think for me now, we came out then from the, you see, we came then, we did fight back, and then it must have been in April we came out. We came back to Germany in 1944.
But from Kirovograd, you went to Romania, did you?
Yeah, well, we came back from Kirovograd, we did fight back to the Russia. We came back to Balta, Tiraspol, and then over. That is already in Moldavia, which is the now. The Romanians want that part back, isn't it?
Yes.
And we came over over the river there, and then we went to Romania, and then we had to fight there, stay there for so long, and then we came back to Plesh, which is the oil town. And it's not far away from Bucharest. And then we came back to Germany and to Cologne, regrouped again, on the 6th of June, as we moved from there, that was already arranged to move from there with the trains to south of France up to Brittany.
Were you fighting at all alongside Allied troops like Hungarians or Romanians?
No, we didn't, no. They were there, yes. There was the 6th, apparently the 6th Italian army, the 6th Romanian army, they were fighting with the 6th German army. Now, how true that is, I don't know. It's only from hearsay. I haven't even read anything about it, only what I heard was said.
Were you under much air attack in Russia in 1943?
They started. They never made a good job of it at that particular time. I mean, if you were in more or less in a trench, long on dropping the bombs, they went across way. So that isn't done. I mean, British force, they would have come down and would have rolled the whole lot up. They didn't. No, they didn't.
What about your food supply in 1943 in Russia? Were you being
Well, you got bread, and then you got the German sausage, you know, and so on, and you have to make do with it, what you got. Now, whereas when we came here to France, in France, the villages, food galore, towns, nothing. Why? Well, everything got bombed. There was no transport. I mean, is it right to say, oh, well, the Germans took everything? They didn't. I assure you, we marched here even in Brittany, and even we marched along, and the farmers were putting their milk churns out. And we went there, filled our field flasks with milk, put the money underneath the milk churns. Next day when we came back, the money had gone, the milk was still there. Nobody collected it. That just shows you. They did. They definitely took their money, and they had plenty. There was plenty of butter in villages. Plenty, you name it, they had it. So nothing in town, nothing in cities.
France after Russia must have been like paradise.
What it was. That is why one says in Germany, "Man lebt wie Gott in Frankreich." You live as the Lord in France.
So you went into Brittany, you said, on the 6th of June.
Yeah, we left Cologne Vaughan on the 6th of June, when here the E-Day.
Can you relate what happened to you in
D-Day? No, well, we came up there, then we had to group, because I think the Third American Army was then already grouping. Regrouping there, and then they wanted to take Brest because they wanted to bypass Britain with war material coming first here, if it could be straight off and delivered there to Brest. And that is why we had to defend it. Now, apparently the German general who was in charge of the harbour in Brest, now that is only hearsay, apparently he already has sold the city, you know, Brest, to the Allied powers. Now, how true that is, I don't know.
But was that a rumor in the German
army? That was the rumor, yes, that was the rumor in the German army. It is definitely true. A General Elster has sold his army to the Allied powers for a certain sum. Now, how true that is, I don't know. I also heard that. They said that is true.
How difficult was it for you to get from Cologne to Brest?
No, not difficult at all. We went by train.
Air attack?
No. It was south of France. We came then up, you know, from the south. We came along and then on the east coast up to Brittany. No, Quimper, all the places they weren't attacked in, hardly. Because the British needed every plane on the main front. You see, or let's say it now, I said that wrong. The Allied powers needed all planes on the main front to attack.
What did you find once you got to Brittany?
Brittany itself, the people, they were quite nice. There was an enormous amount of Maquis there, that means the freedom fighters. I always remember somebody even in my family here saying, oh well, the terrorists. I said, now my dear auntie, make your mind up. We called in France, we called them Chappies, the Maquis, terrorists. You call them freedom fighters. Now make your mind up what they are. And she says, oh yes, you got a point there. It's true, isn't it?
But what did you feel about the resistance in France? Did you feel that they were fighting fairly?
No, not fighting fairly, no. Or it all depends how you behaved yourself to them. I remember we, now, this is a funny story here. That is Hulgat, is a certain place, and then there's a village. And they knew that was full of Maquis. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, we surrounded it, and you can't feel who is one and who isn't. There were about 150. And we were only six, we didn't have many men. And so I marched them to Landerneau, which is a long way from Hulgat, you know, to Landerneau, it's a long way. And I told them, I didn't speak French, so again, I have this interpreter, says, tell him, now, first of all, I took my pistol out and I shot. Now then, this is, I don't know, it's look. And the sparrow came over and he dropped down. And straight off, I took this, I says to the interpreter, now tell him, 150, I have here, roughly about 150, we march there. Anybody escaping goes, he will be shot. Like that bird. Around the way there, on the halfway mark, is a cafe. If you march well, we shall stay there 1 hour. If you march excellent, then that will be added in front and on the back. Whatever you do in there, or if you send letters, notes, doesn't matter. I don't see anything. And we did. We took him there. And they marched well, and I delivered him there. And what happened then, I don't know. Now, I went into that village. You were not allowed to go on your own. You had to be with five and then, you know, weapons up to your teeth. I went there just with my pistol. I wanted to buy bread and butter and milk and so on, and also meat. I got everything and I didn't pay a sausage. So, there you are. Now, either they were thankful or what, I don't know. Now, remember then, it was the 20th of July, then the attentat of Hitler, and it's a great pity it didn't succeed. We knew something would be going on, and then when we did see all them high-ranking officers, like Count von Stauffenberg, Feldmarschall von Witzleben, they all were involved. The only thing what I got against it, why didn't they do it sooner? So long the German flag was going up, they were for it. Now it was going down, they wanted to jump the sinking ship, didn't they? That is my opinion, mind you. And I do believe there isn't one of those particular officers who has participated in that particular attack against Hitler had a job in the Bundeswehr, because you can't trust them. If it goes wrong, they go the other side. I might be wrong.
But coming back to the resistance in Brittany, yeah. What did you feel about people fighting against you who weren't wearing uniforms?
Well, it isn't actually the thing to do. And if you did get in, mostly they were shot because they were in uniform. And they knew that, and that is why they fought so fiercely. That is for sure. See, then we came further back than the Americans. Once we attacked the Americans, we got about 200 prisoners, and they were then led through a breast for the breast people to see, you see. So it quietened them down. You see, this is the funniest part about it. This is the forward one way to another.
What impression did the American POWs make on you?
Well, fed, you see. And I think the wheat... The only thing I did get in touch with the Americans, actually, or in touch, and it was a Major Hammer, a liaison officer from our Navy, the driver and myself. And we went to, with the white flag of truce, you know, to the battle line. We were taken from there. Another driver took them. Them two were taken, and we were bound on, you know, so we couldn't see. And I could never understand that it was the front battle line and there was a major of the American forces digging just the same as the private. Now, that wouldn't have happened in the German forces. In the paratroopers, yes. And not in the other German forces, no. Never. Wanted to negotiate. There was a ship and they wanted to make that a Red Cross ship. And unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. So the Americans said, if you don't, you give the heavy wounded ones to us, we look after them. And that was it. And on the 18th of September, it was then over. I got captured.
Can you describe your capture?
Oh, that was 7 o'clock at night. The Americans, they were marching up, you know, in them five columns there. And I says to our chappy, I said, just give them a little bit of machine gun fire over their heads. See what happens. And all of a sudden, hands up, they were on the back there. We were already surrounded. There was nothing left. I sent a chappy to the headquarters at 7 o'clock in the morning. He didn't come back. He could have been wounded or killed. One at 12 o'clock, he didn't come back. I said, well, there's something wrong, and there we were, and we're captured. So we take him back by a lorry to London now and into a makeshift prisoner of war camp.
How were you treated?
From the Americans, very well. Fantastic food. And most of the Americans speak, from that particular unit spoke German in any case. Most of them, they were Germans of German descent. And the chappy says, he says to me, he says, this commanding officer, he says, you know, from the camp, he says, unfortunately, I can't give you any shelter. You have to make do. Tomorrow, we shall see. And then we got the K rations, you know, them, what the Americans have. That's three, them trins.